Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
This weekend, my parish is celebrating the parish anniversary. The parish was founded in October in 1916. So this week I'm not preaching. I always bring someone, and it's a mystery guest this time.
All right.
We moved the feast. It was in August because they had the summer festivals that we don't have anymore, and it was very hot, and nobody would come to anything. So we decided to move it and make it like an Oktoberfest kind of celebration.
Okay.
So I'm not preaching this weekend, so I'm feeling like more relaxed. You are doing all the work this time.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are two guys and a gospel. This is Father Ricardo Martin from the pastor at Sacred Heart in Racine, Wisconsin, and also the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese.
And I'm Father Philip Ogacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, also here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. And we're here in the studios at the Archdiocese for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I will read from where?
Chapter 22 in Matthew's Gospel, verses 34 to 40.
When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." Very much to the point here.
Pretty much to the point. And again, like last Sunday, we have to see that they are testing him. Again,
right.
They don't want to know his opinion. They want to test him. They want to know where he stands.
Well, I want to think about just that dynamic just for a moment before we talk more about what is actually said here. But this continued questioning, you'd call it nagging almost, Jesus, from what we can tell, remains calm and focused. But, you know, there could be an irritating aspect about that. But what happens, at least for us as readers now and those who hear this, is there's a sense of continued sharpening of focus, sharpening of teaching. And I hope that there are some people in the crowds here, even those who might be opposed to Jesus, who through this constant questioning, whatever their intentions, begin to maybe come around to, I don't know, a deeper appreciation for what's really being answered here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I believe here they're trying to test his orthodoxy.
Mm.
Because what would be the options? What else he could have have answered, no? And some scholars would say maybe that at that point, what were the theological discussions of the day? Maybe the Sabbath was more important than what he answers. Jesus answers with classic orthodoxy. He says the Shema, which is the Hear Israel, the prayer that any Jew would know. And then he adds something that was already in Leviticus. So it's something that some people think it's original from Jesus to make love of God and love of neighbor equal. And that is already. I was once scolded on a radio program by a rabbi because I dared to say that this was an original thought of Jesus. And she told me, no. This is in Leviticus already. So
yeah.
Jesus answers with orthodoxy, saying that, yes, you cannot love God whom you cannot see, and then don't love your brother and sister who actually you can see.
And then to complete the answer, to complete the thought, that beautiful last line, the whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that a lot of us in life, I know that we have as pastors or anyone in kind of a leadership role, has been in this position to say, my issue is the most important. And if you don't think that it is, you think you hate children, you hate, you hate this race, you whatever it might be, and or even if it's just even small issues. Well, Father, this room that I need is the most important thing at the parish, and it's the most important thing in life. And if you disagree, then you're a really bad person. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the trap that Jesus is getting into. And he says, I'm not going to play that game here. Here's what I'm going to answer. But also, everything else that you do depends on these two commandments. And there's just that dynamic. We spoke last week about just the arguments we continue to get into as human beings through all of history, and especially right now. And here's just one of those times where I feel that I've had that stress. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm. The first reading this weekend also is very powerful. From Exodus, "Thus says the Lord, you shall not molest or oppress an alien, for you were once aliens yourselves in the land of Egypt." When "you shall not wrong any widow or orphans." A reminder that, love means that also, not only loving those who are of your same status or ideology, also to understand that we are called to love self, to love family, but also to love the stranger, to love the poor, to love the enemy. So that could be an interesting homily also, to look at what does it mean to love the neighbor.
The immigrants.
For instance.
Yeah, this is one of those weekends to just appreciate one of these really basic realities of the Christian faith and really our Judeo-Christian tradition as well, which is, in the end, the goal is love of God and of one another. There's a lot of ways we can become distracted. There's a lot of ways that we can also seem to prioritize wrongly. But when we get these fundamentals correctly, everything else works out. As Jesus says, the whole law and prophets depends on this. So get first things first, and then the rest works out. But in the end, it's all about priorities. And I think something that would be helpful, we never want to obsess over the past, but sometimes, I can hear this and I can kind of look forward and say, okay, I'm going to love other people. First of all, we can become very generic or non-committal about what that means concretely. But I think secondly, it might be helpful to have a real examination of conscience about this, because I say this all the time. I hear Jesus say it, but I continue to fail. But a real examination of conscience to say, boy, really, why do I continue to struggle with this? A reminder, you don't have to like another person necessarily. It's not what Jesus is asking. It's a deeper reality of love, and you treat people with respect then, of course. But I think this is just to be a helpful examination of conscience rather than what I know I fall into, which is a generic sort of maybe commitment to this moving forward, and then I just fail and comes up again when I hear the gospel again.
Well, one possibility, I agree with you, is, and it's to see how easily we say we love someone or we love something. Here Jesus is talking about a very deeper sense of what does it mean to love others. When you said this about, they use it with the love of enemy. They say Jesus doesn't say that you have to like the enemy. You have to love the enemy, which I sometimes wonder if it's a little cynical, no? Because, because how do you love without liking? Or it's a funny way to reflect about it. But love should be a challenge. And anything that takes us away from the idea that love is just a feeling or a sentiment, love is effort, as we all know.
Right.
Love of merit, love, friendship that survives through the years. It's an effort, and we should embrace that idea a little bit more, I think.
Oh, I'd say that even a little stronger, more than cynical. I'd say the phrase that I just used, you don't have to like someone, but you love them. It can be an excuse, a flat out excuse to say, all right, well, whatever. I don't have to do anything about this. You're right. And I think that's what's so important about what Jesus is saying here and us understanding this is this means real things. It means the concrete details of everything that we do have to be faithful to this. And not just an emotion, not just an idea or something we hear and think about, but in every single detail, especially when it's hard, especially when it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. You could take, I'm being tempted if I had to preach, I would say, how do you land this theoretical love into practical situations that people could relate to? How do you love someone who's hurt you, someone who's been unfaithful to you, someone who has been difficult to you? How do you love difficult people? Also examples how it's difficult to love ourselves sometimes. What do we do with that? It could be an interesting approach.
Right. A few weeks ago, there were two Gospels in a row that really, really hit home on the reality of mercy. I forget which weekends they were, but not long ago, just a few weeks ago. And this is a return to that as well, not using the word mercy, but I think that's really important. So I heard a homily just recently. It might have been from Father Ricardo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I might have caught it online.
I'm honored.
But I've heard a version of this from other people. We've probably lived it. But weren't you saying that you had a grudge that you had held for 15 years, was it? And finally kind of worked up sort of the courage to try to reconcile with this person. And they had no idea what was
exactly
going on.
Exactly what I preached. Yeah, the person didn't know what I was talking about.
Yeah. But just that reality of mercy that's lived out and that's love lived out is those concrete things we need to do.
It's one of these cliche concepts, but unconditional love means that, unconditional mercy. God's mercy is unconditional. So God doesn't put conditions to his mercy or his love for us. So we should try to learn from that with our human limitations. But
right.
Yeah.
So I think the challenge that I'm going to have this weekend, and it's going to be hard, I don't know if I'm going to succeed, is like you, to think about very concretely, what does this mean? So it's not just an emotion, not just a sentiment, but really concretely for the lives of those around us, what does this mean? And so, yeah, I've got to pray a little bit more and think about that. Probably you as well.
Yes, again, I think somebody else will come to preach, but
that's right.
Maybe I have the other two. I may go to specific, first to elevate the like friendship, no? Love, friendship, it's something that we use all the time and we don't give it the deep meaning it really has. So maybe to elevate the concept first, and then second to look at specific struggles that I have with loving particular people for the situation in which I have found myself with them. And I think that would be useful, I believe.
All right. How about we wrap it up and take a look to next week? Would that be okay?
And I'll see you next Wednesday.
All right. I'll see you next Wednesday.
Take care.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.